Hey, welcome everyone to this episode, this installment of Happening Now. And we're coming to you obviously on a different day. Normally these are reserved for Wednesday evenings, but with all that's going on in the world and really a great need for you to hear hope. You need to hear hope tonight and you need to hear encouragement tonight. And so we're coming to you on a special edition of Happening Now, being a Thursday evening. And so we have been getting so much response from people regarding these messages, these dialogues between Don Stewart and myself, that what we have been doing during this period of time is coming to you now live at 4 o'clock Pacific time, but we know that our 7 o'clock Eastern time audience is very happy about this time shift. But for the West Coast crowd, they'll still also have the chance to view it at the regular 7 p.m. Pacific time. And so we're just very happy to be with you. And again, like always, almost always, we have Don Stewart with us this evening. But before we get going, let's pray. And can I get you to agree with me in prayer regarding our nation? I know, at least in Southern California, we went from winter, and like we normally do, we went from winter. Our mountains are covered in snow right now, but we, in about 3 days, we went from winter to summer. We've enjoyed 80-degree days these last several days. It's just absolutely beautiful. You'd never know, right? You would never know that there's this disease, this sickness walking the earth. So the temptation is, you look outside and things are normal, but things are not yet normal. But one thing is true, God knows exactly what's going on. So let's pray together. Father, we come to you tonight and we ask you, Father, that you would manifest your presence here this evening. Lord, this happily is no strange setting for us as a church. The Happening Now gathering has been going on for quite a while now. And Father, for all the new viewers that we have, we pray that you would, and I understand there are those who are believers, there are those who are not sure if they're believers, and there are those that are watching that are consider themselves absolutely not believers. And Father, I just pray that no matter who they might be tonight, wherever their belief system is, that you would reach them. We don't have to conjure anything up, and we don't have to stand on our head or do anything bizarre. You're God, and you're able to touch an honest heart that's open. So, Father, we ask you to be here tonight. And as always, we're unscripted. Don and I are looking to one another as we look to you. So, Father, we just pray for your blessings to be upon us this evening, and that you'd really, Lord, be physically felt among all those that are watching this program right now. And that I know that's a big deal. A lot of people are just sick and tired of being alone. And we understand that. You made us to be social creatures. And solitary confinement is not of you. So, Father, we just pray right now that you'd bless. We ask it in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. So listen, I'm going to ask you if you can to just get the exercise, would you? Why don't you stand to your feet, and I'm going to ask you to get your hands together. Say, Jack, I'm all alone in my apartment. Do it anyway. Get up, and let's welcome our resident genius, Don Stewart, and welcome him to the program, Another Happening Now. Don, we love you.
Thank you, Jack.
When I say our resident genius, Don, you know what? I'm so spoiled. I'm so blessed because from time to time, Don is so busy, but from time to time, he will come and sit here in this church when we have church services, and he doesn't live very far from us, but Don is all over, and right now, you are literally all over.
Literally.
Speaking in churches, much like what we're doing tonight.
Yeah, this is like my 15th one I've done in the last 4 weeks, so. It's nice to be here.
Wasn't it just on one day alone that you actually drove to various portions of Orange County?
I did four in one day. East Anaheim, I started two services. Huntington Beach, I did in the evening, and I rushed home to do a live one from Hawaii. And I didn't make it to Hawaii, but I did it through Zoom in Hawaii. So yeah, four in one day.
Virtual services are awesome.
Yeah, they are.
Except when it comes to Hawaii. You'd rather be there.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Well, I was fantasizing, but I wasn't. I was watching the guys in the Hawaiian shirts, the Stonebreakers, and I'm thinking, Lord, I didn't want to covet. You know, Bible says you should not covet, but it was great. So
you guys, why don't we do some? We'll let people know about these books now, Don, and then at the end, can I, without any shame whatsoever, because I don't get a penny from these. You guys, by the way, can you hand me those?
Sure.
I'm too old to go over there. So you brought four.
Yeah.
You guys. But how many books have you authored?
Okay, I'll explain about the site in a minute, but right now there's 59 done.
59 books done.
Done.
But you guys, high quality, beautiful books, but what's better is what's on the inside. God wants us to know the future, an introduction to understanding Bible prophecy. You can get this, and Don's going to tell you how later. The other book that he brought with us tonight, or for us tonight, is God's Work in History, 50 Biblical Predictions Made and Fulfilled. From the Bible, right here, Don Stewart, excellent author, and look up a timeline of 50 last days events, great, great book, and I'm spoiled because every time he writes one, I get one, and then 25 Signs We Are Near the End by Don Stewart, again, all of these great books, super, listen, church, friends, super biblically based, you're not going to get any bizarre weirdness. In fact, these books, Don, that's why you are such a mainstay on this program. We started this and made sure that you were the one sitting in that chair when I began to see what is now a couple of years ago where all these people were saying, the end of the world is going to be on January 23rd. Oh, no, sorry, June 22nd.
September 23rd.
Or actually. September 23rd. Mm-hmm. And I was seeing what it was doing to people and started this happening now to debunk the craziness that's out there in the name of Bible prophecy. Some people were really giving Bible prophecy a black eye. But listen, as the scripture goes, I want to read something to you, and then you're the horse in the gate, and I want you to run,
okay.
Don.
All right.
When Jesus, in fact, we celebrated this just recently on Palm Sunday. The Bible tells us that as Jesus rode into Jerusalem, he said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to you. How often I wanted to gather you together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. For I say to you that you shall see me no more until you say, Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Matthew 24 says, verse 1, Then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and the disciples came to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, Do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, and listen to this, they're actually asking three questions. Tell us, when will these things be? Number two, what will be the sign of your coming? And number three, the end of the age or the end of the world. Then Jesus began to articulate the beloved Olivet Discourse. Jesus began to give the outline in Matthew 24 of what the end of the world will look like as we know it. And he began to break it down. And this is important for where we're going tonight. Because many people are writing us, many people are asking, many people are calling. Is this the end of the world? Is this the mark of the beast? What do we do? Tempted to panic. You do not need to panic. In fact, Don, a lot of our discussion tonight will be on hope. You do not need to panic. You do not need to believe that this is the end of the world. It's none of those things, as you shall hear tonight. Now, do Don and I believe that Jesus could come back tonight? Absolutely. But what are we looking at needs to be unpacked carefully, which is why Happening Now, I think, has enjoyed the success that it has, is because it's solid, it's not spasmatic, it's not hype, it's biblically based analysis of the days in which we live in. So, Don, you've got some very important things, I assume, as always. So can you go for it?
I would love to go for it, Jack. Well, hi, everybody. Nice to be here. Many of you know I do a program every day, 5 days a week on his channel, 10 to 11 Pacific time, called Breaking News. And during that program, we look for 1 hour at the news headlines of the day that have something to do with what's going on in the world, but only with respect to Bible prophecy. That makes us unique. One of the things I've been discovering, Jack, recently, because everybody's obviously talking about COVID-19, is there other things going on in the background, as it were, that many people are missing because all of us are focused on, you know, the virus, about, you know, being sheltering in place, wearing masks and the such like. And so what I've attempted to do, and I will continue to do, we'll talk about some of this tonight, there's at least a dozen things going on right now in the background that have something to do with the last day's Bible prophecy that a lot of people are missing because of what's happening with front and center. It's sort of like this. We're here, the spotlight's on us on the stage, but sometimes there are people in the background moving back and forth. Well, that's what's happening. The spotlight's on COVID-19 and the people. But back in the background, Jack, there's things going on right now that are setting the stage, just as the Bible said, for the last days. And so we need to be aware of those. And so I've got a list here. And I think...
So before you go into your list, are you saying then, Don, that while the world has been focused on the Chinese Wuhan COVID-19 pandemic, that there are other players in the world with nefarious activities happening while we're all focusing on this?
Without a doubt, and those are the types of subjects you and I will have to talk about when this COVID-19 hopefully is over in the not too distant future, because these subjects are going to linger, but they're happening right now.
Okay,
have at it. First, Gordon Brown, he's a former UK prime minister. He's a globalist, he's a leftist, he was kind of a failure as the prime minister. Here's what he said. It's time for global government to tackle coronavirus. Now is the time for global leaders to create a one-world government to tackle the twin medical and economic crisis caused by the Chinese Communist Party's coronavirus pandemic. He's a former UK prime minister, and he urged that on Thursday, March 26, just after we did our last time. This left-wing former Labour leader said there was a need for a task force involving world leaders, health experts, and heads of international organizations that would have supreme and unfettered executive powers to coordinate the response. Now, here it goes. He gave no indication of who would appoint the leaders, how long they would serve, and for just what their powers would be. And that's from the UK Guardian. Isn't that interesting?
Wow.
Yeah. So here we go with the first one. Globalism.
Yeah.
A person or a committee running the whole thing. Don't we read something about that in the Bible?
We not only read something about that in the Bible, in Revelation 13, to say the least, but Book of Daniel and in other places. But, you know, that seems to be almost Europe's cry, isn't it? And I hope you'll remember this, because I sure don't. But if I remember right, Don, someone from either, I think it was Belgium or Benelux, like way back in the 1956 or 1957, one of those guys said, we need a leader in Europe, and we don't care if it is a devil or a god, we need a leader. And you guys could Google that, you'll find it. It's no secret, it's out there, but that just seems to be, and I find it fascinating,
yeah.
Europe's desire to have a man lead them. Other portions of the world are doomed to dictators. Europe has always tried to embrace a dictator.
Exactly.
They've always asked for one.
Yeah, it was Toynbee that said, we'll deify the next Caesar that comes along.
Wow.
Anybody that has the answers is going to be this. But what it does, this tells us this, that the world is hungry for leadership. They're looking for a leader. And the Bible warns us about 1 John 2:18. John says many antichrists have already come, but antichrist is coming. There is a final antichrist who will come, who the Bible calls by a variety of names. He's called the first beast in Revelation 13. He's called the man of sin, the man of lawlessness in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. He's got many, many names. But the bottom line is he is going to be a person impersonating or doing a parody of Jesus Christ. He will be anti what Jesus stood for. He will go in the temple. You read that about, you know, the abomination of desolation, and look, signs of the end, the destruction of the temple. He will go in the temple and actually claim to be God. And there will be an image of him placed in the temple, and he will have the capacity, he and his cohort, the false prophet, to bring this image to life. And people will think, this is it. This is the guy. He's got all the answers. And so what Gordon Brown is saying, we need a committee. We need someone to do it. We need an answer, a worldwide answer, to govern everybody. No, not just somebody. Everybody. Not just the EU, but everybody. And that person's coming.
Wow. Amazing.
What else do you got?
Okay. Second one is now the end of the EU. This to me is really interesting what's going on. All right. I have stories every day. My headline today was the EU has failed Europe over the coronavirus. The EU is a compilation of nations. It's been going together 40, 50 years. It's supposed to be the be-all and end-all, you know, largest economic bloc anywhere when you put everything together, as I understand it. But here's the time where they should really come to the forefront and be something, and they're not. Spain and Italy, particularly Italy, has been hurt really bad by the COVID-19. And Italy was reaching out to some of its, you know, partners in the EU, and it's like, Italy, who are you? Never heard of you.
Exactly.
And so this is interesting. So story after story, Jack is saying the EU is falling apart. It's necessary to fall apart because there's too many of them, right? It's like Gideon's army when God said, you got too many people, we got to whittle you down. Well, it has to be down to 10 nations. So what's really interesting, we're seeing story after story. Is this the end of the EU? Is this the end of the EU currency and that? Now, this is an interesting question I want to ask you because this came to my mind. All right, this could be the end of the EU, end of the euro. You think the next currency will be digital that they come in, they put in into the...
I have no doubt whatsoever that it will be.
Yeah, so the new, it'll be a 10-nation confederation.
And hang on, let me insert this.
Sure.
So audience, friends, why am I so sure that it's going to be a digital currency? Well, we've been hearing the arguments in the COVID debate is one of the filthiest modes of transportation of germs of sickness and disease is paper currency.
Correct.
And they the world has been talking very boldly now about a cashless or digitized economy for the world. Absolutely.
Yeah, Tim Cook said the next generation of young people won't know what paper currency is. And so it seems to set the stage for that. And you're right. My wife works in a credit union, and the people there, you know, they still have to handle money. And there's a lot of unsung heroes going on now, Jack. That's one of them, because they have to do that every day, because you can't wear gloves doing that, because you have to feel the money, make sure it's not counterfeit. And so they're doing their job as the truckers are, as the grocery clerks are. You know, we obviously acknowledge the doctors, the nurses, the people in the hospital, our police, firefighters, first responders and that. But there's other heroes now, the farmers that are growing this food. There are people working in this country, and thank God for that. But anyway, so what this is interesting, because Daniel talks about this in Daniel chapter 2, and he's talking about this last 10-nation confederation, iron mixed with clay, which iron and clay do not adhere. So it's going to be a confederation or a federation of 10 different countries. It won't be an empire, but 10 different countries in a revived Roman Empire. But they won't get along. The leadership won't get along with the people because, again, every country, here's the problem the EU is facing also, has their own history, their own, you know, traditions, this and that. You can't throw them all into one big mix. And what we find now, it's not one for all and all for one. It's everybody for themselves, because what's happened now with this COVID-19 is, you know, France is closing its border, Italy its border, Spain. What they're doing is exactly opposite what they were supposed to do when this whole thing broke out. So to me, it's very, very interesting that what we see in reality doesn't match what was so supposedly so wonderful. You know, on paper it looked great. We're this great economic community. We've got this great GDP going. But then problems come, and so Italy turns and asks for help to share, you know, some of the load. Other countries would share the load and the burden they have. And basically they're getting the thumbs down.
And friends, listen, he was just talking about this in Daniel chapter 2. And in verse 44 it says, "And in those days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to another. It shall, his kingdom will be established forever. All the other kingdoms that man established shall break into pieces." So it's just thrilling to realize that what we're looking at on the world scene is, at this pandemic time, a huge exposure of the lack of leadership. I'm sorry, I'm holding back a laugh because, and I don't mean to be cruel about this, but so today's Thursday.
Right.
So I think it was Monday or Tuesday night. I forget what it was. One of my grandkids, they wanted to watch The Wizard of Oz, the original one.
Right.
Okay. So we watched it. And as they approach the Great Oz and the flames and the voice, "I am the Great Oz, you know, don't speak to me and I'll speak to you." And well, Toto, the dog, goes over there and grabs the curtain and pulls The curtain opened, and there's this little man pulling strings and all this stuff, and he's the Great Oz. Yeah. And the mask was knocked off, yeah. Right? And so what we see right now is we've got this dynamic pandemic thing going on, and Europe is looking around to see who's going to be the leader, and what leaders we thought we had in Europe evaporated.
Exactly.
And they're not there. And it's remarkable to me that the very pandemic got out of China, hit Italy hard.
Very hard.
It hit us first, but it went to Italy and hit them hard. And then who's helping Italy recover? China.
Yeah. And this is what's interesting. So what we're seeing, Jack, again, like with this first problem with Gordon Brown, what the COVID-19 is bringing to the world, things to the forefront that the Bible predicts are going to happen at the time of the end, the need for some type of global committee. And we know it's going to be actually two people, the first beast, the second beast, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. That's coming. But then the European Union, it has to be 10 nations. And we're always thinking, wait a minute, got way too many. It's got to whittle down. How's it going to happen? Well, it seems this might be the thing that dissolves it. And it'll have to, like Humpty Dumpty, be put back together again with 10 different nations there. Because it'll be in the days, like you mentioned, Daniel 2:44, in the days of those 10 kings, the kingdom of God comes to the earth. And so probably digital currency, 10 nations that'll rise out of the ashes like the phoenix, and we'll see what happens. But to me, it was a fascinating story because every single day I've been getting a story about this is the end of the EU. Economists from France, people from Belgium, people from Italy complaining, you know, they're not helping one another out. And so this great experiment doesn't work in reality. It's really interesting, isn't it?
Well, isn't that something? A side note, I remember years ago being advised or hearing about, you need to buy euros. It's this, as this thing coalesces, it's going to be the dominant global economy, and the euro is going to surpass the dollar, and it's going to go. And I always found it interesting that way back in those days, Pastor Chuck Smith pointed out that the European Union Constitution, they went out of their way, they literally went out of their way to make sure that God was not referenced in their constitution.
Yep.
And it's a godless government, and it has proved itself to be fruitless. And, you know, England, look, obviously England got smart and got out. But I don't want to hold you back.
No.
No,
that's what you're here for.
No, they want to hear from you. But
nah, they want to hear from you.
I have a lot to insert at any time.
Okay, please. So these two things are going on. Again, look at it this way, people. Like, we're talking, this is happening in the background. So as the world's looking at COVID-19, all these things are going on behind the scenes, setting the stage, like I said, Jack, these things we're going to be dealing with after this thing is over. Okay, the third one is really, really interesting to me. Russia and Turkey made the headlines. They're fighting over the country of Libya, who is going to be in charge of that. And the title of the headline was, "How the Syrian War is Lifted into Libya's Battle for Tripoli." What's going on is Russia is supporting this general from eastern Libya that wants to take over the country. Turkey is supporting the government that was established in 2011 by the United Nations because Libya has a great location there in the Mediterranean Sea. That's got like 1,300 miles of coastline. They're oil rich, this and that. And Libya, and here's the key, Libya is the one country still that needs to be able to afford, put together an army for the Ezekiel 38-39 invasion.
That's right.
And since 2011, they haven't been able to do it. So now you've got two opposing forces there, what actually are working together. So, you know, we're not prophets or sons of prophets, right? But we see some type of agreement being made where Libya now is run by what two nations? Two of the ones at the forefront in Ezekiel 38 and 39. So this story was what each of them did. They had these proxies from Syria fighting the Syrian battle. Libya had airlifted over from, the Russians lifted their proxies over, the Turks lifted their proxies over, and so they're fighting in Libya now as they were previously fighting in Syria. Now, you can't make this stuff up. And so sooner or later, they're going to have to come to some sort of truce, right? When they come sort of truce, which soldiers are going to be in control? Russia and Turkey.
And here's the thing. If you're not familiar with what we're talking about, and I hope right now I'm speaking to somebody who's not familiar. It's like, what are you guys talking about? In the last days, the Bible tells us that Russia will have a coalition of nations, and they're named by name. So you might be thinking, why did Don pull Libya out of the sky a moment ago? Because Libya is mentioned in Ezekiel 38. Ezekiel was an ancient Hebrew prophet in the Bible, and Ezekiel was the one who not only foretold that Israel would come together again as a nation in the last days, But he described it graphically, how that would happen, that the nation would come together out of dust, that its land would be wasted, and that the people would come, and that they would be as though they were dry bones being reassembled. And as time went on, God would put tendons and ligaments and muscles and skin on them, and the last thing that God would do for that nation was put his spirit or life in them. And today, it's significant because we've got everything just right regarding Israel except the spirit. Israelis today, most of them do not believe in the existence of God, or if they do, they refuse to bow their knee to God. They're angry at God, or they say that God does not exist. They are not looking at God right now, but something's going to happen. If you read Ezekiel 36, 7 and 8, if you read that, there's an event that takes place which Don is talking about, and it involves Libya. And Libya has got to be strong enough and viable enough to be involved in the invasion coming from the west going toward Israel in the attack, because Russia is said to be coming out of the north. And so all that's laid out in the Bible. That's why it's so important, because we don't see that event taking place if Europe and the United States have their act together. If Europe and the U.S. are strong, Russia and that coalition, they're not going to do anything about that. But at times like this, where America is certainly preoccupied with survival right now, and Europe is just befuddled, it can't put one foot in front of the other successfully. It's a prime time, isn't it?
Totally.
For Russia, and I love how you just said it earlier about people walking behind the stage behind us, that there are people moving in the dark.
They are.
And this is a pretty fascinating time. On top of it, Don, maybe we didn't brief. Maybe
nope.
I'm shoulder hopping you on something. But
no, you're
And I don't want to belabor this because we've done this before, I think. But China could not continue having Donald Trump in power with the economy, with the U.S. success that it's had, and with Trump imposing the tariffs and exposing their fake economy and their ruthless ways. China had to do something to stop the hemorrhaging. China would not mathematically survive in a global economy unless they created a problem to stop the American machine. What I'm telling you guys now is something that you think, oh yeah, yeah, now you say that. This is something that China had to do to save its life. You say, Jack, are you saying that China released this intentionally? I'll just say this. The guy's name, I believe, is Brett Baer.
Mm-hmm.
Brett, is it Brent or Brett?
Brett Baer.
Brett Baer. There aren't currently people in extremely high places, not in this country, who have given him classified information regarding what China's intent was and the plan. And this is going to be hitting the fan. It's public, but what it says exactly is not yet known. And this man now has this data, and it's a big deal. We know this. China could not have survived another year with Trump's economy and Trump's business savvy regarding U.S. and China trade. So China, we just heard today, may have tested a nuclear device.
Yes.
Kim Jong-un is acting up again.
Sure is.
In North Korea. Talk to us about that.
Okay, interesting. You're on the same wavelength. That's my next point. Did you know? Yeah, that's good. But just to finish the Ezekiel 38, 39 to segue into it. Yeah, this is a battle that was predicted some 2,650 years ago. The names of the countries are given their ancient names, but all we care about is where they were on the map. And we put the modern countries in the map where these ancient names were. And we find the countries are Russia, Turkey, Iran, Libya, Northern Sudan, and these are the main ones that are going to be part of this invasion. Now, this is something we've been saying for years. And if we would have said something like this in the 1970s, you'd think we're crazy. because Iran was the best friend of Israel in the United States at that time in the Middle East. Now they're the worst enemy. Turkey is a member of NATO. It's only gone over the dark side in the last few years, but the Bible's predicted this, and the stage is being set. So anyway, we'll leave that because we talk about that all the time, but it is interesting that Libya is the one country that needs to complete the circle to have a government together, at least working well enough where they can put an army together to be part of the invasion. They can't right now, but it's getting there.
You know, Don, it says Libya.
Put is the...
And you're making me think right now.
Good.
Put an army together, but does that army have to be Libyan soldiers?
Not at all. No, they have to come from that direction.
Exactly.
So they could be Russian and Turkish soldiers.
But isn't there a contingency today of Russian soldiers in Libya?
There are. Yeah, there are. Oh, yes, both. Russian soldiers, Turkish soldiers there, but also their proxies are there too.
Yeah.
But if they get some type of treaty, Turkey is bringing people in big time into Libya because they want the natural gas out there in the Mediterranean.
Of course.
See, they actually claim that all for themselves when Israel has this great national gas field called the Leviathan out there, and Turkey saying, no, it belongs to Libya. Now we made an agreement with Libya, so it belongs to us, and that's when they're at loggerheads right now. So again, remember, they're going to come down to take a spoil because Israel has something they want and something they need, and the stage is being set that much more of Libya now with an agreement with Turkey, Russia getting in on the deal. You can't make this stuff up. It's exactly what the scripture was predicting.
And it makes perfect sense because Russia is so... Russia is so desperate, and Russia is so needful of what others have.
Yeah.
Right?
Totally.
And, we all like going to the mall if we have a lot of different types of shopping to do. If we need to go to the Apple store, and we need to get some Levi's, and then we want to get some Yogurt Land, and then we want to get some Nikes.
People are they're getting nostalgic now, Jack. They don't remember what that was.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. You're right. Remember malls?
Yeah, vaguely, yeah.
So you would pull up, you'd get out, and you'd take care of everything at one time, and you would get in and drive away. Israel is that place for Russia.
Completely.
Israel is a mall for Russia because Israel's got the oil, they've got the natural gas, they've got the technology, they've got the genius, they've got the brilliance. And in the natural eye, where the Bible tells us that God's going to put a thought in the leader of Russia's mind, so this is a divinely inspired thought that God's going to deposit in his head, and he's going to think a thought to move against Israel. And so when he comes, he's probably thinking, this is going to be a pushover, and they've got everything I want. They've got the greatest technologies in the world, and I need that to keep my economy going. And so it makes perfect sense, even if you're not a Christian. It makes perfect sense if you know anything about geopolitics. Unless Russia does something, Russia has an expiration date
they
on
sure
it.
Do.
As a nation.
A use-by date.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. So keep going.
Yeah, okay. Now this one we're talking about now, though, Jack, we got to contain ourselves. We might not get past this one, number four, because this is huge, what's going on. There's a number of things going on here. Now, I'm thinking about this because, first of all, here's story number four. According to the Bible, neither China or the United States are players at the time of the end.
That's
so they are non-players, but they're the two big boys right now in the world. So now, here's seemingly what's going on. Very interesting. Trump is basically fed up with all that's gone on in the Middle East. He wants to move out of the Middle East, and he needs to because the problems in the Pacific with China, right? Particularly now with this COVID-19. So it seems this, in one sense, this is going to move the United States, most of their material, their resources, their assets, out of that to be in the Pacific to deal with China. So you got that going on. China, at the same time, is doing this Belt and Road Initiative. It's kind of like the old Silk Road they used to do from 200 BC until about the 18th century, where they would trade with Europe. They are in something like 100 countries now worth $8 trillion. They go in the infrastructure, they loan the countries the money, they say, look, we're going to have our builders will come in, build up the infrastructure, our banks will finance that, and they got them. And that's what they're doing right now. And so China's building that up, like you mentioned, with President Trump and the tariffs, it's starting to go south. So this is what's going on with their old Belt and Road project. In fact, China was bragging now, we're not only doing the economics, but believe it or not, you can't make this stuff up.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to bring the health back to the world. China's going to be the one that takes care of the virus.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that.
Yeah, but, brilliant.
But here's what's interesting, and you mentioned this. We talked about this last time, 3 weeks and one day ago, and we said, look, you know, we're not wearing the tinfoil hats, because like a month or two ago, if you would mention this anywhere online, you would be looked as a kook, a lunatic or whatever it might be. But there's more and more evidence. People are saying, you know, maybe this Chinese Communist Party virus actually did come from this lab in Wuhan, China, and it wasn't something came from bats or just naturally in this wet market that's there. But for one reason, they're putting the wet market back together. You'd think they would do that if it came there originally? So,
Don, if my memory serves me right, which it probably doesn't, one of the recent times you and I were together, because of some friends that we've talked to, I think people might have heard it from at least a Christian biblical worldview background. On this stage, you and I talked about nefarious actions that we told you guys, don't be surprised if we find out that this was intentionally released. And with the breaking news in our world this week, that's exactly what we're talking about. Let's go to an image right now, by the way. And that image, I'm going to take a look at it. This is actually a reference or a clip to what I talked about earlier, Don and I, regarding Brett Baer. Fox News reports, and it's, you know, Fox News is saying Fox News. Brett Baer happens to work for Fox News, so somebody in other countries trusted him enough to release the data to him. Fox News reports, Brett Baer, U.S. officials have high confidence coronavirus leaked from lab. Not only leaked from the lab, but there was, we're not prophets.
No.
So we could speculate and say, keep our eyes and ears open to that virus having been leaked, and the leaking of it was actually intended to happen because China was then going to show quickly that they had the antibody for it, the ability to vaccinate.
Yeah, vaccine. Mm-hmm.
And so don't be surprised, I'm just saying, that they leak it, and then 2 weeks after we leak it, we announce to China that we have the vaccine. And if it gets anywhere else out, if it gets to Japan, we'll sell you the vaccination. You say, they would never do that. No. Italy sent masks to China when the virus...
They gave it to masks.
Oh, that's right. Italy donated their masks to China when China was first getting sick, and China never gave them to the people, turned around in the same boxes, and sold them back to Italy. Did you know that?
Exactly.
Can't
make it up.
So the thing is this, that it got out and China was supposed to cure it. That didn't happen. Here's what I have a hard time with. And you're going to see the dates will be published. I can promise you that. The dates will be published in this report that you just saw on your screen. The date that the release or the accident occurred, within short order, listen everybody, within short order, China closed all flights out of Wuhan to all other destinations in China.
Just in China.
You got it. Just in China.
Not internationally.
China closed all flights in and out of Wuhan from China to China. They did not close one flight from Wuhan to any other destination in the world. They knew people were infected. They shut down domestic air travel out of Wuhan, but they never stopped international traffic. And every day, 8,000 Chinese landed in San Francisco, Los Angeles, and Seattle combined every day. As they do, well, they don't right now, but every day, 8,000 Chinese visitors arrive on the West Coast, And Wuhan had flights. They had flights directly to San Francisco and LA from Wuhan. And China never stopped those. Trump stopped them. What in the world?
Yep.
That's diabolical. That is criminal conduct, and China needs to pay for that.
Yeah, they do. And when all that comes out, that's the whole key, because they were probably doing this. This was spreading as early as November. You know, so they knew for a long time. What was really interesting, too, Xi Jinping disappeared for 3 weeks from public view. He never disappears from public view. It's almost like, guys, what are we going to do? It looks like we got to go to plan B here now. It's not exactly working like we thought. And so what they allowed this to happen, and this is what's so sick, Jack. Again, we talked about this last time. In Wuhan, they allowed to have a potluck with 40,000 families gathering together in Wuhan. Right after that, the Chinese New Year took place where people would travel all over the world. One of the biggest places was the Lombardy region of Italy, where they've got this Belt and Road Initiative working with Italy.
You're going too fast. I don't. I hope I got it.
Okay.
I know it.
Okay.
But I want...
Back up again?
Well, just because
sure.
of the... importance of this.
Sure.
The monster's loose.
Monster's loose.
But the government,
endorses
and encourages a gigantic public gathering.
40,000 families.
40,000 families in Wuhan.
In Wuhan.
For a great time of festivities.
Correct.
And knowing.
Knowing.
That from that location,
yes,
there would be, because the flights were already booked, the government, it's a communist nation, people, they know what people are thinking there. They know people from that region now who's infected, they're going to fly to a place that is known as the garment region.
Correct.
And that is northern Italy, we
yep.
say Milan.
Yep.
The fashion zone of Italy. You see, what's the connection between the, how many Chinese? 300,000. 300,000 Chinese work in that part of northern Italy that China, the government, knows they're heading to Italy with highly possibly infected people on those planes.
Well, definitely. And here's the sad thing, Jack. They knew these people had no idea that they were carrying the virus. These people are you know, it's
completely
not the Chinese
innocent.
People. We need to make a big point
right.
about this. Not the Chinese people.
It's
the Communist Chinese Party, the government there that's doing this. They sent their people out to be, you know, to infect other people literally around the world because they knew they were being infected by it. It's taking place there. They're trying to keep it there in you know, in the Wuhan area, in that province, the Hubei province. But the problem is they don't want to just take a hit themselves. They want to make sure others pay for it. What a better opportunity, because like you said, we have 8,000 people per day from China that we're flying to the west coast of the United States. That's why we feel very strongly we got it first.
I have no doubt.
Yeah. And so that's what they did. And so what we've talked about here before, I want to put this, in a way that's not giving away information. We have information. I have a source that has a source inside one of the governments, anti-Christian, anti-American governments in the world that talk to people. There's Christians in the government of China, in Iran,
that's right.
in Russia, in Turkey, and in North Korea, believe it or not, in all those countries. Mm-hmm. And he talked to two people independently,
that's
and
right.
he asked them, what's going on with the infections there in the world? And each of them, who don't know each other in this country, told him, this is a bioweapon created by China. They've sold it to Iran and North Korea to start with to infect, you know, Iran probably to infect Israel, North Korea, Lord knows what they'll do with a little rocket man. But the point is, that was the message we got about 2 months ago, all right? Again, don't want to reveal the source, even what country it comes from, but the bottom line is, it's fitting with the entire narrative there that they knew it. Now, again, you're hearing this story here. To me, it doesn't pass the smell test. It's somehow, well, they just created it, not as a bioweapon, but they just wanted to see if they could reproduce the same type of, SARS epidemic, SARS or MERS, that type of pathogen there in the laboratory like the U.S. can do. In other words, it was all harmless and right. It wasn't meant to be a weapon.
To back up what Don just said, I just watched it this morning. Because this high-level classified information has been leaked now to the U.S., that always be aware when you hear talk like this, We got baptized into this on 9/11. Planes have hit the trade centers in New York. We don't know what's going on, but we know it's not terrorism.
Yeah.
Have you noticed that, everybody? Oh, a bomb went off at the Boston Marathon. We don't know much about what's happening. It's unfolding, but we know it's not terrorism. Always be aware of that kind of talk. Why am I saying that? Because today, Fox News, they've got the data. At least one of their staff members has the data. But Fox News is saying that we don't know exactly it's going to be investigated, but we know for sure it was not going to be a bioweapon.
Yeah, sure.
Listen for that kind of idiocy.
Yeah.
But see, people swallow that. When you said it a moment ago, I can almost hear people on the other end of the camera say, oh, you're wrong, Don, because CNN said it's not a bioweapon.
Right.
That's exactly correct. CNN said and Fox said it's not a bioweapon. You just remember that. Let's know this. Let's give China the benefit of the doubt. Let's give the CCP benefit of the doubt. It wasn't a bioweapon. It got out of its cage. Somebody tripped over a rake and knocked it out of the vial, and it rolled down out into the street and hit a monkey, and it got loose. Okay? Sorry. Really? Then why, again, did they allow international flights to depart? You cannot reconcile those things.
No, why did they have the potluck? There are 40,000 families. Why did they immediately, when they got the samples, order them destroyed when people were looking and say, this is a new pathogen, order them destroyed? And why did they sanitize this wet market and say, well, it's all taken care of now? In other words, you can't check out the evidence. Of the first 42 people that had the COVID-19 in Wuhan, about one-third of them had no contact at all with the wet market. They never went there.
Yeah.
And so how do you explain that? So again, the misdirection which is going on here. And so if you've got a pathogen that's, you know, something, you know, they had SARS, they've had not MERS so much, but SARS there in China. And if that sort of thing got out amongst the people, immediately they want to, you know, quarantine, lock it down, not let anybody go anywhere, because China's got 1.4 billion people in it. But instead, what do? They shut it up and they send people all over the world and shut their own flights down, inter-China flights.
China wants to be, again, we're not talking about the Chinese people.
Communist Party.
Please, we're not talking about the Chinese people. They are a victim of their government. But China wants to run the world. If you want to run the world, you need to be nice.
Yep.
Isn't it bizarro? They release it and they endorse it in its advancement, in its travel. They should have done what we did the moment we found out about it. Look, we're the ones in the West that have been wearing masks and staying indoors, and how many times, you know, can we paint our closet or whatever we're doing?
Exactly.
That's what they should have done.
Yep.
Or else, you know, wouldn't have gone here. But we'll see in due time, and I know some people are saying, yeah, I got it. Some of you are maybe not tracking this at all, and you're saying this is crazy. How about this? Just give it time. And it's going to get out more and more. The question is, what's going to happen to China? I have a sarcastic response to this. What's going to happen to China, Don, when it is confirmed that they're responsible for, I don't know how many tens of hundreds of thousands of deaths?
Yeah.
What's going to happen to China? What will America do to China? What will other nations do to China when they're busted?
That's a great question. What's your sarcastic answer?
Nothing.
Yeah, exactly. That's
I'll
the
tell
answer.
You why yep. Nothing. And here's the reason why we can do nothing. Is because the United States, China, we owe so much money to China. Under President George Bush and under President Barack Obama, Afghanistan and Iraq was funded. We didn't pay for that. We had to borrow money from China to fund our war effort. We're trying to pay that back now. We owe China so much money. China can laugh at us any day, okay? You said it earlier. They've indebted them, or they've had nations of the world become indebted to them. China has gone around buying up nations. You say, that's ridiculous. Oh, really? How do you control a nation? Its economy. You don't have to bomb it. You just have to control its economy. And guess what happened? When our stock market crashed, a couple of, how long has it been? 4 weeks ago,
yeah,
maybe?
More or less, yeah. Mm-hmm.
What did China do? Instantly, China started buying up U.S. companies. Instantly. Started buying stock when those stocks plummeted. They know exactly what they're doing. Okay? It's nothing's going to happen to China.
Nothing.
Because the world owes it too much.
Yeah, exactly. But what's interesting about this, remember, both the U.S. and China aren't players. So the U.S. has to put its efforts on China right now. So for some reason, they're going to be, shall we say, entangled with each other at the place mm-hmm. where they're distracted about anything else going on in the world, where they're probably not able to be a player somewhere else. But it is interesting to me, these two nations that are the biggies right now, the biggest, you know, powers in the world, are not a player as far as the Bible is concerned in the last days. So maybe the nations won't do anything to China, but maybe something else will happen to this country. Now, the good news is there's 100 million Christians plus in China. And I tell you, Jack, only in eternity we're going to find out how many other people came to faith in Christ were these very brave Christians during this whole epidemic that was their pandemic across China, got to witness and preach the gospel to them. So we're thankful for that. So, you know, we're really thankful for them being there. God bless them. And we can't say enough good things about them. But it's a very tough situation for them. So we don't know how this is going to play out. But here's what we do know. The focus of the world will be in the Middle East and be in Western Europe. It won't be in the Pacific Rim. So the U.S. and China will somehow keep each other busy. Now, what's that's going to be, we don't know. We can we can guess. We just don't know.
So, church, I'm gonna use Don as a little guinea pig for a moment. And especially those of you who are not Christians, listen to this carefully. Jesus said that this gospel shall be preached in all of the world. And we know that in the book of Revelation, that will happen right at the very end. The Bible says an angel, maybe even two angels. I don't remember.
One.
Is it one angel?
Revelation 14:6, yeah.
Revelation 14:6. Resident genius?
No.
An angel will fly through the midst of the atmosphere proclaiming the everlasting gospel, and then the end shall come. But 2,000 years ago, what did Jesus say before he ascended? He gave a commission to the church. In Matthew chapter 28, he sent the church out and he said, go and preach this gospel to the ends of the earth and make disciples, by the way. And That's our job.
Exactly.
How many of you are Christians? Raise your hand, wherever you're at. That's our job. What are we supposed to be doing? What's the will of God for my life? Preach the gospel. Tell everybody you know. That's why you know people. God allowed you to know people to give them the gospel. That's what the Christian does. So, on the worldly side, a bug gets out and goes around the globe, forcing the church and the world to go indoors.
Exactly.
Oh, it's so sad we're not at church. I understand that, but I cannot say it's sad anymore. The entire church went indoors, had to, and churches around the world were able to pull out. I thought I had my phone. I don't have my phone with me. It doesn't matter. But
I got mine.
All around the world. Little churches, a church of 10 people, for example, they were able to take their smart device and switch the camera around, right?
Exactly.
And record their pastor teaching and upload the sermon all around the world. Churches have been doing this irregardless, isn't it beautiful?
Yep.
Irregardless of a church's size
yep.
or a church's finances, everything got level. The church was reduced to an extreme basic to do what? To hide? No. God didn't silence us. The exact opposite happened. God used this virus to put the church away from all of the distractions, all of the other plans that we all had about this and that. I'm not knocking it. Children's VBS and Vacation Bible School and mission trips and all that. Boom, stop, dead. What do we do now? Preach the gospel 24/7. And we've got just us alone, hundreds of thousands of viewers. You on your programming is off the charts insane. Doesn't that excite you to think for a moment that what God has done is that he's put the church in the home where it started 2,000 years ago.
Yep.
With the commission to preach the gospel, what if, Don, What if the church was not reaching, so to speak, its quota or its mandate according to God's timepiece? And the Lord wants to get things going. And he utilizes this pandemic to get the church to go online around the world to do what? To get the word out. Not to build buildings, not to have another church plant or have another worship service. To get the word out. And it's happened. And it's happening now.
Yeah, and not only that, Jack, the churches are getting record viewership, every single one. These little tiny churches are reaching thousands and thousands of people with just because of the technology that's there.
Amazing.
His channel, our servers are overfilled, about 125% capacity. We're getting reports everywhere, and the gospel's getting into places. Let's just put it this way. We mentioned this to our audience. Places you would never expect it to get, we're getting in there through his channel, getting the gospel there. So people are hearing it literally worldwide. And in a way, it wouldn't have happened had this not happened. So God took something that was evil, that was put together by the Communist Chinese Party to try and basically punish the rest of the world as they're getting punished when their old bioweapon got released for however it got released. But God is using it to turn it around and cause the heathen to fall in their own trap, like the Bible says, the wicked had caught in their own snare.
I can tell you that personally, in a conversation with a senior White House person, that what Don just said, you cannot tell me that God is not in this. That this, the United States, our U.S. capabilities, among many things, I was told to my face that the United States government was able to monitor the download of Bible apps, and they were able to count. I don't know how they do this. I don't need to know. They were able to count how much Christian programming was being watched in this nation, in this particular nation where Jesus is illegal, and yet the population are starving and scared.
Yep.
By the way, they were hit hard by COVID.
Yes.
Now, we're not rehearsing this, but I think you know what I'm talking about.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
And that nation, you guys, right now as we sit here and speak, so it's 3 minutes to 5 Pacific time, that nation right now, its religious leadership cannot control the appetite for its population for Jesus, for the Bible. And it's so huge that the United States intelligence agencies were able to monitor. What are they doing? What are they downloading? Oh my goodness, they're downloading Bibles by the millions. Jesus is coming back.
Jesus is coming. Now, can I break in with a little commercial here about resources? And
yes.
I'm glad you said that because I wanted to share this. Now, this is something, talk about for such a time as this in the fullness of time. It was just about 6 weeks ago where we finally completed our website at educatingourworld.com. And on the website, I have 59 of my books, 59 books covering 11 different topics. If you would print them all out this size, it'd come to 13,000 pages, dealing with some 2,000 questions. There's a little button there. It says download books. They're all there for free for anybody that wants them worldwide. So would you please shamelessly promote this? All the books I've done on prophecy, on these 11 different subjects, we deal with the person of God, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, the afterlife, the unseen realm, the church, a Bible and science, that. All the material's there under the download button under the 11 topics.
Where do they go to get this?
Educatingourworld.com. See,
educatingourworld.com. Yeah. Listen, this may save someone's eternal life.
Yeah.
Educatingourworld.com.
Yeah. And it's a free download for all that. You can download all 59 of them. You can read them. You can print them out. You can share them with others. Please shamelessly promote it, because the material's there. What we say in these books, and that's why I wanted to get to that, Jack, is showing that God does want us to know the future. He has a track record of already showing prophecies fulfilled in the past. As we're dealing with you right now, there's prophecies being fulfilled right now. The stage is being set for the future. People need to know this. And so along with the Bible material, this is, I believe, very good teaching material too, but we put it up there. This is a goal I've always had. In fact, it's funny, when the internet first came about, there was no social media, I put a site together, and I was doing the same thing, giving it away for free for about a year and a half with no social media. I had 10,000 people on the site from 107 countries and didn't charge them anything, but they just kept coming on. For circumstance beyond my control, I couldn't continue that. So I've always wanted to do it again. So it just got on basically online together about the first week of March. We've just had it there, and I want to tell people, use it for free. Take advantage of it, please. Now, don't do it this second. Wait till the program's over, till we're done. But go there, educatingourworld.com, under, download books. You'll get the list of the 11 different topics, the different books under that. You can download them, and you can read them, print them, and do whatever you want with them, because we want the gospel to get out, because this is the time, Jack, as we see, getting closer and closer.
You know what we'll do also, obviously we're doing live TV right now. We'll make sure also that on all of our platforms, we make sure that we are endorsing and pushing that, because like I just said a moment ago, that day, this information, while you were saying that, this can save someone's eternal life. Understanding and knowing the promises that God gave to Abraham, you got to know that. If you're a Muslim, you got to know this. You think you know it, you don't know it. You need to know what the Bible says. The fall of Jericho, the decrees of Cyrus, the Messiah, where must the Messiah be born? The Bible said exactly where he had to be born. The Messiah would be a miracle worker. The destruction of Jerusalem and the temple, that had to happen. And the scattering of the Jewish people to the ends of the earth before their regathering. Just in this book alone, God's work in history, 50 biblical predictions made and fulfilled for free.
Yeah, exactly. And what it shows, I start with basically Adam and Eve, go all the way through the end of the New Testament to show that God has a pattern of wanting people to know. That's the name of the first book. God wants us to know the future. He tells us that. He tells us what's going on. So when it takes place, we can know. Daniel chapter 12, verses 9 and 10, Daniel was told at the time of the end, the wicked will never understand, but the wise will understand. We'll get it, and we can get it, because the information's right there in God's holy word. So take advantage of it. We live at such a wonderful time, and Jack, like we were talking beforehand, this happened, all this thing with technology. Now, we can talk to people literally around the world, which we are. People can tell others about this, and the word gets out. In the old days, we used to have to travel to place and talk to an audience face-to-face. Now we can reach, literally the whole world just because of the technology that's here. So we're blessed to be living at this time, and we're getting together with you folks. I've been speaking to all these invisible churches, recently, and it'll be good to see their mugs again. But until that time, great things are happening, so we want to be thankful for it. Anyway, when you talk about resources, I wanted to find a good point to mention. They're free now.
So I'm so glad you did, and everyone out there is so glad that you did.
Okay, good.
And, but listen, it's the Word of God. The Word of God brings us hope at this time. None of this is outside of God's hand. God's got this, everyone, and you don't need to worry. You don't need to panic. A lot of people are concerned and worrying, and you don't need to do that. You need to trust the Lord. A lot of us as believers, all of our lives, Christian lives that is, we've been taught the Lord's coming back and the end time scenario's coming. Well, now we're in an indicator. It's an indicator. This issue falls under the category of pestilence.
Totally.
In the Bible. Does this pestilence, is this what Matthew 24 or Luke 17 or Mark 13 talked about? I don't think this is that. I think those are happening during the tribulation period, but it's a precursor. It's a stage setting. It's getting you to wake up. I do believe more than ever now. I mean, I cannot be convinced any other way but to believe that God in his infinite mercy stopped the church from its busyness. It's being Martha. So busy, and he caused us to sit at his feet and pump out the gospel, because Jesus is coming back any time now. Any time. When? I don't know. What day? Don't know. What hour? Don't know. But I look around and I see the times and the seasons, brethren, that Paul said, you'll have no need that I should write to you. So listen, family, we're going to go to, do you have something else?
No, go ahead.
Well,
I've got a lot else. One through four, but no, you've got other things to do.
Here's what we'll do. Real quick, if somebody gets knocked off or logged off, you can leave that question up on the wall, but real quick, before anything else happens, Jesus Christ is prophesied in Scripture from cover to cover. It's all about him. It's all about Jesus. And that he would die on the cross for your sins and mine, because God had to die for us. A good man couldn't die for us because we couldn't find a good man. There is no good man. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So God sent his son, Jesus Christ, born of a virgin, born in the town of Bethlehem, exactly according to the prophets, lived a perfect sinless life because he was God in humanity, and he fulfilled the law of God because you and I can't. And then after fulfilling the law, what Jesus did is he stepped into our place and he was punished on the cross for us. What was due to you and I, Jesus took for you and I, so that justice and judgment would be satisfied. So you got the law satisfied, you got justice satisfied, and then to ensure your salvation, third day from the grave, Jesus rose again from the dead to not only be the sacrifice, but then to rise from the dead to be the priest, the attorney, the provider, the everything for us. Trust Christ. It's not belonging to a church. It's not being a member of any organization. It's not being baptized in water. It's not giving money. It's putting your faith in Christ as Lord and Savior, and he'll forgive you of your sins because he's God, the Redeemer. Trust him. Having said that, few more things, and we'll go to questions.
Okay. You want to take that question, or you want to talk about a few more things?
A few more things.
Okay. Wow. Let's go just one more. What's going on now? And this is something that's going to work again in the last days. It's happening behind the scenes, but it's going to continue on. Government overreach worldwide. We're seeing government overreach worldwide because the Bible talks about a world where there's total control by the powers that be. It doesn't seem like the freedom is going to be very much at the time of the end, so we're expecting this. I don't know if you've heard of some of these things in the UK, where my oldest daughter lives. You can't go in your backyard now in most of the country. If you have a shopping cart coming out of the mountain, out of the store, they call them trolleys there, the police can actually look through and see that you bought essential items. If you didn't, you could get fined if you bought a non-essential item. In Victoria, in Australia, in Melbourne area.
I think you're talking about Michigan, aren't you?
But we're talking about, I got Michigan on the list here too. But worldwide here, in Australia, in the state of Victoria, if you are caught driving your car and the policeman stops you and find out you're going to a non-essential location, you can be fined $1,600 on the spot. This is the government overreach. And we've got tons of things like stories like that. Michigan, you can't even see your next door neighbor. You can't go next door, you're told. Previously, you couldn't take hydroxychloroquine. But then, of course, that was eventually allowed there. And remember what was 2 days ago that President Trump brought together these survivors that had taken that, survivors from COVID-19. And there was a woman who was in the legislature there in Michigan, a Democrat, who was dying of COVID-19. She took the hydroxychloroquine and got better, and she thanked President Trump personally, a Democrat doing that in this state ruled by not the brightest of politicians there, if we put it mildly.
I also know that healthcare providers, doctors and nurses and technicians, they're taking it as a preventative.
Exactly.
Thank God for that.
Yep.
Don, I don't know if you know this or not, but our county told us last week that the citizens of this county would be fined $1,000 if we were, if we violated, I don't remember what the rule was, but like maybe keeping distance or something, or
wearing a mask or something.
Well, mask or going on the trails or using any one of the parks, $1,000 fine. And the community, I'm so grateful for this, the community rose up in anger and flooded the county office, and they wound up rescinding that penalty. They took it off the books. But this is America, and we can still make some noise. But You're putting it mildly when you talk about overreach. It's not going to be the same world when this virus is gone.
No.
And here, I hate to say this, but next flu season, when the first person gets a fever,
yeah,
there goes your job. Everyone's shut down. Yeah. The first kid that coughs, you're going to be quarantined in your home. I mean, it's out of control. But this is what happens when man rejects God and man makes himself to be God. Man just goes crazy with the rules.
Yeah, what's interesting, too, it's like the old Stasi, the secret police from East Germany, which Hitler did before, telling on one another. New Zealand, a couple weeks ago, they put a website together saying, if you see one of your neighbors breaking, you know, any of the rules now in place, we don't want this to spread, whether it be social distancing, not wearing a mask or whatever, you let us know. Well, the website got up and it crashed in about a half hour because everybody's trying to tell on their friends, and the whole thing went down because so many people want it, because they're going to get a reward for doing this. It reminds, again, of old East Germany and the secret police there. And so that was people are, and the same thing in the UK, yeah, they're telling on their friends, they're taking pictures of people, they're without a mask, or they're, you know, going someplace, and or they're buying something which they shouldn't be buying. They showed a picture the other day of this poor fellow who's delivering goods for his ailing mother, but he didn't belong in that neighborhood. Why are you driving here? And the police came and pushed him against the car and arrested him. They later apologized. He said, well, I'm actually delivering for my ailing mother and people here that can't get out. That's why you see me in this neighborhood. But this is what it's come to now. And I understand the paranoia that the police have. They're doing a great job. It's got to be very tough. But the laws that are being put in place, and this is the worry here. This is, again, back of us. This is going to stay afterwards, too. These laws are not going to be rescinded because they've got the power now here, and they want to keep hold of it.
Wow.
And it's not going to get any easier.
Well, we don't have the time tonight to talk about what church will be like in America. Some of the things that we're hearing will shock the pastors of America regarding the new way church may very well take place, but we'll see. We need to pray for our freedoms to assemble like we used to. But listen, let's get into it. And what we're going to do, Don, is our good friends are going to be airing this tomorrow. And so at about 15-minute time, we'll say goodbye to them.
His channel, that is.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take the first question. Does the war of Gog, G-O-G, Gog and Magog, have to happen before the rapture? We get that question a lot.
Yeah. Fortunately, now you can download the answer for free because I've got an entire book on Ezekiel 38, 39 I haven't put in print yet. 31 books in print, 59 written. I've written a whole book on the subject. We deal with that as well as the timeline of the last days, 50 events, as well as we deal with a little bit of 25 signs we're near the end. Here's the bottom line to the answer of that. The War of Gog and Magog is a difficult interpretive issue. There's something like 14 different answers that Bible-believing Christians give. So, Jack, if it were clear, obviously we would all hold the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I believe it will happen before the rapture for a number of reasons. I believe that has the least amount of problems, and here's the reason why, in a nutshell. At the end of Ezekiel 39, when all of this is over, when the campaign of Gog and Magog, you know, and what happens is this, if you're not familiar with this, they come into Israel, Israel is caught by surprise, they're surrounding them, looks like the end, then God sends from heaven, hailstones, earthquakes, like in the old Gideon's army against the Midianites. The people start killing one another, and there's corpses everywhere. At that particular time, we're told in Ezekiel 39, Jack, that the people realize that God, again, is working with the nation Israel specifically.
Right.
To me, that would say this is not during the church age. We're out of here at that particular time. So that's probably the main reason I believe that will the rapture of the church, the catching away of believers,
yeah,
will take place before that. What are your thoughts?
100% agree for this reason. The rapture doctrine, the doctrine of the catching up of the saints, by definition and by, can I use this word, by dissection? When you unpack the events of the rapture, there's no prerequisite prophecy or events that predate the rapture. It's the only thing that I can see, you can correct me, but it's the only thing that I can see in Bible prophecy that is a major prophetic event that will be fulfilled that has no indicator or prerequisite. In other words, You must be ready. You are to be ready and watching and wait for it. And you don't see that with other Bible prophecies. You see Bible prophecies being fulfilled with precursors. The rapture has no precursors.
Yeah.
Could happen today or now.
That'd be great, wouldn't it?
Or now.
We're ready.
What's the next one, Don?
Do you think COVID-19 is so they can force the vaccine on us and get us in the one world order? Now, there are people that are saying this, but I want to take a step back. As Jack and I were talking about that ahead of time. There would be a number of people are working on vaccines. Oxford University, where my oldest daughter is studying, they're supposed to have human testing, I believe, as early as next week.
Right.
And so they're getting closer. And to get that vaccine, again, there's something like 50 or 100 different companies racing to try and find this sort of thing. China is supposedly doing that too. Now, we've got to understand something about the one world order. And some people think, you know, if the vaccine's going to come on with some type of, it's almost like the mark of the beast or something like that. Jack, the mark of the beast, or put it, the one world order will be something this final Antichrist comes on the scene and puts into place. But what has to happen, and this is what's important, the technology has to be there for one, to monitor transactions around the world and to be able to have the countries, you know, have a mindset there where you can, there's a central, like Gordon Brown said at the beginning, there's a central command, a central place where people will all go. Whether it's the vaccine, eventually that'll do that, or a vaccine. I don't believe it's the COVID-19 one. No, for a variety of reasons, as we talked about, and as Dennis, who owns his channel, has mentioned to me many, many times. Again, what's coming in the future is, unbelievable stuff, caveman stuff, the stuff now that we have compared to what's coming in the future with, you know, inside the body, he was going on and on about this. And it's stuff that used to be science fiction. And, you know, with the exponential rise of technology, which is one of our signs of the end, we got to be careful with saying, well, this is it, this thing right here. Well, you know, we've said that for the last 40 years, this is it or this is that, right?
Wow. You know, okay, so I think it was a year or two ago, Time Magazine on the cover talked about man being wired.
Yes.
And had the back of a man's head and wires coming out. And it said something like wired by 2045 or something like that. And, you know, we look at that as like, oh, that's ridiculous. It's actually not ridiculous. No. And it's actually very doable. And what we need to do is be careful. I understand the passion behind your question.
Yep.
There is a new world order coming.
Yep.
That is true. Vaccines, they have, since the creation of a vaccine, there have been more vaccines. We're always going to have vaccines. And COVID-19 is a family of flus. So yep. COVID-20 is going to happen. What will it be like? We'll see. But COVID-21 is going to happen. COVID-22 is going to happen. Those things are going to happen. Be careful that you don't clump things together. Because it's not a good practice. Don and I are telling you that we're living in a world. You know what? Let's do something. Guys, can you queue up something? It will help this kind of stuff. So I'm going to ask the guys to queue up a video that you'll see. While they're queuing it up, listen carefully. The technology, for example, if you know what a microwave oven is, you say, well, who doesn't know what that is? Well, did you know that the microwave was doing its job in 1943? Did you know that? 1943. Did you know that we had sailors in World War II that were going up to the top of the mast on warships and warming up their hands on our battleships in the North Atlantic, only to go down 2 hours later to find that their hands were turning blood red and meat was beginning to cook on their hands. Microwaves. The microwave in your kitchen came from military technology. The internet by which you're watching us with, military technology. Okay? There are technologies that are unknown to us, that are old to military activity. So I know that time is limited, but what we want to show you right now, I showed this to Don, or I told you about
you told,
it. I
yep,
didn't show it to you.
Didn't show it yet.
Don mentioned earlier this evening the Antichrist, the false prophet, and the image of the beast. Okay? This is Satan's trinity. Satan will have the false prophet, the Antichrist, the man who comes instead of Christ. My wife brilliantly today pointed out to me, she said, I find it fascinating that nowhere in the Bible does it say anti-God, because everybody's cool with any kind of God. This is very insightful on her part. I thought it was amazing. She said, it's Antichrist, it's Christ. Christ is the problem. And this man's going to come along and not be anti-God. He's pro-God.
Pro-God.
He's going to declare himself to be God. But he's Antichrist. And then the image of this beast. And the Bible says it's going to be able to talk and to speak to people. It's also going to apparently be able to discern who has the mark of the beast and who doesn't. Now, why do I bring this up? And why do we show you this? Because this technology got out recently. I say recently, in the last couple of years, this technology got out. But this was U.S. military technology for decades, people. And what I'm talking about is what's known as deepfake. Some of you know what deepfake is. Some of you have never heard it before. But I can tell you right now, literally this week in Congress and ongoing, Congress is trying to figure out how to stop deepfake from taking place. So I think we have, and you need to be familiar or else you're going to miss it. The comedian that's going to be on the screen is a funny man, and he does impressions. But once you say that, I want you to look at his mouth and watch his nose. Guys, are we doing them in order, Sean? Yep. So watch the face, listen to the voice, watch the face of the man that begins to do this impression.
Thanks for being here, Bill.
Thank you.
Congratulations on the gig. You know, a lot of times it takes somebody, a new cast member, a while to pop on that show.
Yeah.
You kind of popped right away because you did an Al Pacino impression.
Yeah,
and everybody
yeah.
in our office was talking about it,
watch
you know,
this
on Monday. Like, that guy, that's really
man.
Funny.
Where,
did you study a lot of Pacino's films?
Watch his eyes.
How did you
watch
come
his
to that
eyes.
Impression?
No, I watched him on the his acceptance speech mm-hmm. on the Emmys for Angels in America.
That's the only part you studied.
I was watching that, and he was kind of like just totally into like the peripheral and like weird things. So mm-hmm. he was like,
"Watch his eyes."
Oh wow! We got some lights. A couple of cameras. That's nice. Yeah. All right.
Did you do Pacino for your Silent Live audition?
Yeah. I did him for the audition. And I did Pacino, it was kind of weird, interviewing his new maid staff. So it was like all new maids.
Uh-huh, and he's like giving them instructions?
Yeah. It was like,
if I walk into this kitchen and I see a cantaloupe on that table, I will lose my mind.
That's the instructions
I
give.
It's kind of like.
Okay, I don't know how familiar you are with those two people. One's a comedian, the other one is obviously Al Pacino, the actor. But you watched a guy on your end of the screen. Now, that didn't happen on the set of that late night show. That guy simply did his impression. But you watched his eyes go dark and they move together. You saw the man's face, that by the end of his impression or impersonation of Al Pacino, he literally was Al Pacino. You saw the transformation so subtly. That's called deep fake. So just this week, reported on the news regarding the congressional or the government investigations of deepfake, because it can be used in a dangerous way. And they showed a man going through certain movements, holding a podium, moving, standing, just a regular Joe. And then they employed empowered the technology, and instantly the man was turned into Donald Trump, and you couldn't tell the difference. It's called deepfake, and it's been an item of sabotage and warfare used by U.S. operations. It's part of it's something that was developed years ago by DARPA, and it's out public now, okay? So why do we bring that up? Imagine that being used by the Antichrist, where an image begins to take on an actual living, breathing persona. It doesn't have to be alive, but it can be alive. And I find that fascinating. We need to move on, but Don, years ago, I was freaked out by a guy who attended this church. He wound up moving on. When I say moving on, he went to heaven. He worked for Skunk Works in Palmdale. Skunk Works is a division of the U.S. government in development. And he was telling me about the development of new fighter aircraft. He told me this, it's got to be close to 20 years ago, that there would be pilotless planes, but inside the aircraft is something similar to an aquarium. And inside that aquarium, they had been working on this organic, man-made brain that would operate the control surfaces of these pilotless aircraft. That was 20 years ago.
Wow.
You're looking at me like, oh, but that was 18 years ago.
So what do we have now?
Can you imagine what we have now?
I don't think any of us can. That's the whole point.
Can you address the issues of the temple being rebuilt before the beginning of the end times? You wrote a book on it.
Yeah, one of the books you can get is The Jews, Jerusalem, the Coming Temple there. You can download for free on educatingourworld.com and find out about the timing of that. The temple has to be functioning in the midpoint of this final seven-year period, because at that time the sacrifices are stopped. You can't stop the sacrifices unless they're starting. We do not know how long the temple's been functioning. All right, there's a final seven-year period called the seventh week of Daniel, the time of Jacob's trouble, great tribulation. Actually, technically, the great tribulation is only the second half. But the bottom line is, it's only at the 3.5-year mark of that final 7-year period the sacrifices are stopped. How long the temple stands before that, we don't know. It could be standing for years, months, or even weeks. We don't know, but we know at that point is standing, and sacrifices are being made, and they are stopped. But how long the temple will be functioning, we simply don't know. It's just a matter of speculation.
That is so key. Can I back up just a moment? Just stop me, please. The 7-year tribulation period is 7 years continuous.
Continuous.
Right? And the Bible breaks it down into Babylonian time, so it's 1,260 days.
Correct.
Plus 1,260 days.
Right.
Okay. The midpoint is 3.5 years.
Right.
The agreement that the Antichrist crafts with Israel and its neighbors is a 7-year treaty,
correct.
Right? Okay. And it's the signing of that agreement that commences the 7 years.
Or the
yes?
confirming of it. It can be either way.
Contract.
A contract that's already been made, just confirming it or sign it there. But they're going to make it, they're going to seal the deal.
Okay. So before the temple is destroyed, before the temple is desecrated by the Antichrist, it's got to be built.
Correct.
And the Bible says he desecrates it at the 1,260th day.
Correct.
In the middle of the trib.
Exact middle.
Right in the middle. So that means there's 3.5 years we know that there's a temple either under construction in Jerusalem.
True.
Or it's already been built.
True.
Right?
Correct.
Which then presupposes that we should be watching as believers, that any temple talk, any temple work, any temple blueprints, templates or things to be used should not be taken lightly. Is that safe to assume?
That's definitely safe to assume. In fact, almost every day, if you watch breaking news, you hear me say, God's clock is the nation Israel. The nation is the hour hand. The city of Jerusalem is the minute hand, but the Temple Mount's the second hand, because that's ground zero. That's where it's all going to happen, right there. So any story about the Temple Mount, about, you know, freedom of worship there, rebuilding the temple and the such like, always catches our attention. And so we keep our eyes on Jerusalem, on Israel, but particularly on that old Temple Mount, because that's the center in the future.
We're going to encourage you to stay on right now, but we're going to say goodbye to the audience of His channel. We love and appreciate His channel as they're broadcasting the gospel around the world 24/7. Don't forget, His channel, and I always mess this up, .com or .org?
.com.
HisChannel.com. Make it one of your favorites on your device and always be watching when you're not watching us. Okay? So we're saying goodbye to the His channel audience, and we will pause for just a second there, and we will let live TV do its thing. And let's continue on for those of you who are with us on Facebook Live or YouTube Live. And we'll take a few more questions right here Pacific time. It's 5:30. And we'll rebroadcast this at 7 o'clock Pacific time. Don, the question is, how will Syria and Damascus play into the final days?
You know, that's an excellent question. It talks about the destruction of Damascus there in the book of Isaiah, and it's never been literally fulfilled. The timing of that is something we really don't know. In my timeline of the last day's events, the timeline of 50 last day's events called Look Up, we deal with that. And there's a number of different points of view on that. That's one of these ones I'm not really sure about. It could play a couple different times, a couple different places. And so I would encourage you to look at the various options that are there, because that's one of these ones we don't know precisely the order there. One of the things I do at the beginning of the book is say, here are 50 last days events. It's called Look Up a Timeline of 50 Last Days Events. We know the first one in order is the dead in Christ rise first, then the rapture comes right after that simultaneously, and the last one's eternity. We know that's going to be the last one. But in between, there's a number of events that the Bible says are still to take place, the order of which we think we pretty much have a good idea what it is, but there's some of them that can go in various slots, aren't there, Jack? When you teach Revelation, you have to deal with that, right, at the time of the end. We know they're going to happen, but chronologically when, we're not always sure.
Yeah, exactly. The basic belief is that it's possible, it's speculation, it's possible that Isaiah 17:1, it could be like a trip line, it could be what instigates the Ezekiel 38 battle. It's possible, they may not even be connected. But one thing is for sure, that chapter goes on to say, and I believe it's also, is it Jeremiah also?
Jeremiah talks about it.
Also talks about with that when it happens, no one will ever live there again. So we know this, it hasn't happened yet. And we know that Syria is a very volatile region of the world. Yeah. And Syria almost may have been purged of Christians under ISIS.
Yeah, that's the sad thing. Because one of the interesting things about it, under Assad, he's an Alawite Muslim. It's it's a division of the Shia Islam. He allowed, you know, like Saddam Hussein, the same thing too. They actually allowed Christians to be there in the country. ISIS, forget that. They would, you know, persecute and kill them. And so, yeah, with the Syrian civil war, with ISIS taking like a 20% of Syria at one particular time, yeah, the Christians have fled, and that's part of the 10 million or so people that have left the country because of the persecution there.
Amazing. Will non-believers see Jesus at this time or hear the trumpet sound? Or will believers be the only ones to see and hear it? I can only speculate. This is my speculation. Do you remember when the Lord revealed himself to Paul on the road to Damascus?
Yeah, exactly.
Paul heard the Lord clearly. But those that were around him, they heard something of a rumble or something. How did they phrase it? Something happened, but they didn't know what had happened. But Paul knew exactly what was going on. Could it be like that? Maybe. Could it be that only the believer experiences it and the non-believer is just completely silent and dumb to the event? I probably think that's the way, but I can't make a doctrine out of it. It's going to be, I don't know.
We'll be out of sight.
We won't care.
We won't care.
Next question. Does 2 Thessalonians 2:3 indicate that the Antichrist has to be revealed before the rapture of the church? I know the answer to that, but Don, go
ahead. The same answer you have. Go ahead.
The scriptures tell us that he who hinders will do so until he is taken out of the way, and then shall the wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the brightness of his coming. That's a reference to the Holy Spirit holding back the advent or the unveiling of the Antichrist. I do not believe the church will see the Antichrist because the Holy Spirit will deposit the church into the arms of Jesus in the atmosphere, and that will trigger the end time events. Some point after that, the world, of course, believes the delusion, the strong lie, 2 Thessalonians 2. And the world will begin to be put under the sway of this Antichrist individual. I do not believe that the church will see the Antichrist, and I believe strongly that biblically we have to be out of here for him to be revealed, because the Holy Spirit is going to, he's not leaving. The Holy Spirit steps aside. And when does he step aside? When he deposits the church into the arms of Christ in the atmosphere. Look, isn't it fun? The church was in the home when it was born. The Holy Spirit came down. 2,000 years later, the church is back in the home all around the world. Wouldn't it be great if the Holy Spirit took us up? But the Antichrist, I'm not looking, Ed Heinzen says, I'm not looking for the Antichrist, I'm looking for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm not looking for the Undertaker, I'm looking for the Upper Taker. And that's great, that's a great word.
I love it. Yeah, Jack's actually right. There's a good book, an excellent book by a good friend of mine, Dr. Andy Woods, called The Falling Away, Spiritual Departure or Physical Rapture, a second look at 2 Thessalonians 2 and 3. Yeah. That's Dr. Andy Woods called The Falling Away, where he goes through and shows that the falling away is actually referring to the apostasia there. The Greek word is the rapture of the church. It's not a last day's apostasy from the Lord, but the Greek word means dissimilar departure, and it can refer to a physical departure, and he makes a fabulous set of arguments that it refers to the physical departure of the church. My second volume on the rapture, I deal with the same thing. I'm going to expand it a bit and bring some of Andy's arguments into it, but I used to, on a scale of 1 to 10, think it was about a 6. After reading Andy's, about a 9.9, I think.
Don, not only are you saying right on there, is the fact that friends do, anything Andy Woods does, I love that guy. He's stellar. And those of you who might be watching and you have him as your pastor, that's fantastic.
Yes.
What Andy's great about, doesn't he have his law degree?
He does. He's a lawyer.
So he argues so clearly. Yeah. But what I love about it is Andy didn't have this idea after a crazy dream. Throughout church history, there were original early on fathers that viewed it as Andy now writes about it today. And there was a segment of time where that went away. And the apathy replacement of the apostasy took on that form. So that's a side note, but it's a very fascinating note. Great stuff. Could a war between the U.S. and China be the reason for their absence in the Bible?
Yeah, very easily it could be. And that's one of the things we fear, because the two powers that are there vying for this, we don't know who will start. Well, actually, China's already started it, but communist China here. We don't know. But here's what we do know. The scene will not be there in the Pacific. It'll be there in the Middle East, and China will not be a player. The U.S. will definitely not be a player, but now we are a player. But because of all that's happening in the world, like I said, that's why this was the fourth point we were mentioning, Jack. This seems to be the reason that the U.S. will concentrate now in the Pacific, and sooner or later, push may come to shove. We don't know what will happen. We can speculate till, 10 minutes after the last judgment, don't know. But the bottom line is, it's certainly possible.
Yeah, there's a reason why the United States keeps the presence of the U.S. Navy's, it's a joint venture, U.S. Navy, we talked about it before, right. U.S. Navy, U.S. Air Force, CIA, Sierra Bravo X-ray, SBX platform in the Pacific. There's a reason why it is always in the Pacific, and we're specifically talking of its routine deployments, of it being in the North West Pacific Ocean near North Korea and China. There's a reason for that. You want to read it? I'm tired of reading it.
Okay. Well, this one, there's a misconception in the question. Daniel 9, does it empire of the ram, which is Iran, have to be a destabilizing world power before the empire of the goat out of Europe rises the Antichrist to destroy the ram? Well, that's already happened in history. It was the Medo-Persia was destroyed by the he-goat, which is Alexander the Great. But it does bring up something interesting here. And so I believe anyway, that's already been fulfilled. I don't think it's prophetic of Iran becoming a destabilizing world power before the empire of the goat. And here's the reason why. Because according to Ezekiel 38, it's Russia, the prince of Rosh, the leader of Rosh, is going to lead this coalition. Iran is going to be part of it. Iran does not even have near the capability of doing something like that right now. They are a destabilizing influence, but they don't have the ability to do, you know, on a world basis what they would like to do right now. With the virus there are sources that tell us as many as 500,000 people in Iran have the COVID-19.
Oh, it's bad.
Yeah, it's terrible there, and the number who have died, it's, you know, in the they're second behind China. They're way ahead of us number of deaths.
Yeah, and the data that's coming out of there, Iran, Persia's trying to suppress that information like China is. Yeah. Before we leave that question, though, it's for you who asked this question, this is very good for us to talk about right now. Because your question comes from a way that you've been taught Bible prophecy. And I'm not saying this to upset you. There's no need for this to upset you. But for example, if you're viewing Daniel 8 right now, and you're saying, "Oh, we're looking for the empire of the goat to still come," with all due respect to the ministry that you've grown up under, you've been taught wrong. The empire of the goat has come and gone. And you say, "How do you know?" Because, listen, what's cool about Daniel 8, God gives you the perspective. He shows you his perspective of the way he sees global governments. And I think it's Daniel 2, man sees his perspective of the global governments. Ooh, gold, silver, bronze. And God looks down from heaven and says, "Bunch of freaky animals."
Yeah, exactly.
He's talking about the exact same thing, portraying them in different light. And Don hit the nail on the head. Every reputable scholar that I can think of and have read, the goat is a reference to Alexander the Great.
Yeah.
Now, what's the other representation of Alexander the Great? Was it a leopard?
He's a leopard. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so those animals are synonymous in those prophecies.
Yeah, and also, too, remember, in Daniel chapter 7, Daniel gets the same vision that Nebuchadnezzar had in the dream, but from God's perspective, see him as four evil beasts. But notice something, the emphasis is on the fourth kingdom. That's the one, the emphasis on the kingdom of Rome, the last kingdom that came. The first three were destroyed. Babylon was destroyed by Medo-Persia. The Greeks destroyed Medo-Persian Empire, and then Rome destroyed the Greek Empire. But now the fourth empire, like Humpty Dumpty, just kind of fell apart. Nobody destroyed Rome. Rome will come back together again at the time of the end. And again, Daniel 2:44, in the days of those 10 kings, when Rome is revived, that's when the kingdom of God comes to the earth. That's why we are excited. In fact, the European Union is seemingly falling apart, and it'll be eventually replaced with a 10-nation confederation. We're not prophets or sons of prophets. The book just tells us that. So we knew sooner or later it had to fall apart, and that's what we're seeing happening.
Yeah, before we answer this last question, we'll make this our last question. Before we answer the last question, can you all please be careful in this day and age of Bible teaching people, prophets right now predicting things, saying things, okay? There's some people out there writing books about President Trump's actual name, Trump, being the last Trump. I mean, are you kidding me? People are doing anything to sell books. That's why Happening Now, this program started. Stay away from bizarre things where some guy tells you, and this, you know what, and if you carry the two, and you add this, and I had a dream, and I... Forget that. Please forget that stuff.
Yeah, remember in the 80s,
Ronald
Wilson Reagan was president of the United States. Each of his three names have six letters in it, so he must be the Antichrist, Ronald Wilson Reagan, 666.
Yep. If I remember right, JFK was the Antichrist.
Yeah, because the mortal head wound. And they kept him alive in the Vatican.
Yeah, there were others. Mm-hmm. On and on and goes. Yeah. It never stops.
Never stops.
Be careful, because they undermine the true, wonderful, calming Word of God. Final question. Do you think that world leaders could be following the lead of demonic forces without knowing it? Absolutely. You mean, like, are they doing it right now? I'll answer it this way, and then Don, you can close it out. Satan doesn't bother Don and I. Satan doesn't bother you. Remember, he's localized. Yep. He's not omnipresent. Satan, I have no doubt, visits the meetings and the boardrooms and the bedrooms of people like Boris Johnson, Vladimir Putin, whatever that guy's name is in China.
Xi Jinping,
Donald Trump, Benjamin Netanyahu. Leaders of nations are probably influenced and under the attack of the wicked one constantly. That's why I believe the Bible commands the Christian to pray for our leaders. Okay? I believe that there are leaders that are open to demonic influence and power. Then I believe that there are leaders that are not. So we need to be careful. So you look at Daniel 9, where they were angelic hosts fighting against demonic hosts, trying to manipulate nations, then there would have to be some form of a yes answer to your question. Don.
Yeah, it's interesting. My friend Hal Lindsey, Hal was the author of The Decade in the 1970s with the late, great Planet Earth.
Great.
And he told a story. He met Dr. Werner von Braun. Von Braun was the man who developed the rocketry program there in Germany. He was, during the time of the Third Reich. And he was mentioning something to Hal. He said, here is Hitler that only had a very minimal education, mm-hmm. and von Braun was explaining him these technical issues in rocketry and physics. He said, I understood everything. He got everything that was being said. And as Hal was talking, he said, you could make a case that all the member, Goebbels, Hitler, the whole bit there, Bormann, Himmler, were all demon-possessed because of their behavior and such like. So that was there, I believe, very true with the Third Reich. Whether it's true with, I'm certain some of these leaders they are, and there will definitely be at the time of the end when they accept this final Antichrist, because he's going to have a cheering section there too. But the point is they need to know Jesus, and that's the key. We need to pray for him, because you never know who's going to come to faith in Christ. There are some actually Christian leaders around the world, believe it or not, few and far between. Wish there were more, so we do pray for them. But for the most part, we're living in a very fallen world that's turning its back on Christ, and we're seeing it happen right in front of us right now.
Yeah, with that, we want to make sure again that you clearly hear that what the scripture tells us is that all of us have sinned. And if you're honest with yourself, you know that. We've all sinned and come short of God's righteousness and God's holiness. The Bible says that God's eyes are too pure to behold evil. Sin repulses God. He loves you, but he can't, so to speak, look at you because of your adultery and because of your lying and because of your pride. And he looks away. It's just, have you ever seen something that just makes you sick to your stomach? You're just going to lose it? God looks at humanity and he's just going to lose it because of sin. It grieves him that terribly. When a child is molested, when a person is murdered, God just, it makes him sick. Yet he loves us. He loves us because he created us not like an angel. We are nothing like angels. Angels are what they are. God created you and I in his image. And it's only him dying for you in your place, because you're condemned. Don and I, we were condemned. But we had, so to speak, our day in court. For me, it was 1977. When was it for you, Don?
1970, just 50th anniversary, just had it.
1970, my goodness. Mm-hmm.
You weren't even born then.
Yeah, funny. So for me, 1977, and I went from being condemned to redeemed. I went from being what I was to being transformed. Jesus Christ does this. To all the Muslim viewers, Muhammad cannot do that for you. It's irrelevant how you esteem Muhammad. He cannot help you. Only Jesus was prophesied to die on the cross and rise from the dead. And he did. And isn't it interesting today that when anyone ever wants now to get their life right with God, no matter where they are in the world, they've got to come one way. And that's Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but through me. That's radical. The same God who made that promise and made that declaration is the same God who wrote this book. You can laugh at it all you want. It's going to get you in the end because nobody mocks God and survives. This book is perfect and flawless, and you cursing it and rejecting it doesn't make it false. It's true. And this is his word communicated to us, and he expects us to know this. And when you read this book, you're going to find a letter written about the redemption of you. It's about you getting back with your Creator. And Jesus bought you a ticket with his own blood. And then he rose again from the dead to hand you the ticket. But you need to accept the ticket. No one's going to be in heaven who had to be forced. He extends the invitation, you must accept. You can reject if you want. He made you in his image. He has the power of choice, you have the power of choice. And it's our prayer that you choose Christ. You can do that right now, let's pray. You can do it right now. Father, I pray that you would touch these right now that are about to pray this prayer, no matter where they are in the world. Lord Jesus, I'm asking you to wash me of my sins. I'm asking you to come into my life. I'm asking you to take control of me. I invite you in. Wash my sins away. Put your Holy Spirit alive in me and cause me from this day forward to walk with you. And may I know it. May I have a biblically based, experiential Christian dynamic that from this moment on, my life does nothing but change more and more into the image of your likeness, O God. And I thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
If you have prayed that prayer, you need to get a hold of us. I'm trusting that there's numbers, there's lines there that are on the screen that you can connect with, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. You can go to YouTube. Find a way to contact us. You can go to calvaryCCH.org. You can find us there. You can type in my name, Jack Hibbs. You can go to jackhibbs.com. Just find us, let us know who you are, where you're at, and if we can get a Bible into your country, then you're going to be getting a Bible. But we want to know that you have the Word of God in your hands. We'll get that to you, and we look forward to seeing you in heaven, and we hope it's any day now.
Indeed.
Right? God bless you. Take care. See you later.